You know, Scientology is something that you don't understand. It's like you could be a Christian and be a Scientologist. And it is a religion because it's dealing with the spirit, you know, you as a spiritual being. And it's something that there's tools that you have that can actually, that you apply to your life.
That's actor Tom Cruise in a recent television interview talking about his religion, Scientology. Now, almost considered normal nowadays. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about cults and new religions tonight on the program. You know, almost sounds normal. 30 years ago, Scientology was considered something in the realm of science fiction. And now it is more and more readily accepted, but it's just one among many new religions and cults that have gone from the fringe to the mainstream. We're going to be talking about it tonight with Dr. Ron Rhodes. Now, folks, we'll be talking with Dr. Ron Rhodes about cults. That's his subject. And if you have a question or comment on cults, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, we'll also be taking that email for the next 2 hours, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, before we introduce our guest, I'm looking forward to meeting our listeners in Wichita, Topeka, and in Kansas City this week. We're going to be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 in the afternoon at Grace Lutheran Church in McPherson, Kansas, this Tuesday, October the 4th, St. John's Lutheran Church in Topeka, Kansas, on Wednesday, and then from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Excelsior Springs, Missouri, that's right around Kansas City, 4 days from today on Thursday, October the 6th. Everyone is invited to attend both the live broadcast and a free potluck meal after the show. Now, for more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour this week to Wichita, Topeka, and Kansas City, just go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. I hope to meet you there. Ron Rhodes is a regular guest on the program. He's president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries based in Dallas, and he's author of several books, including his latest Find It Quick Handbook on Cults and New Religions. Ron, welcome back.
Well, thanks. It's always good to be with you.
Ron, how do you explain this, that 30 years ago, these groups, these cults, these new religions that would have been considered uniformly on the fringe are now more and more mainstream?
Well, that's a good question with multiple dimensions to the answer. I think, first of all, the church in America has been a failure in teaching the Bible. You know, there's far too many churches that are not paying attention to teaching correct doctrine from the Bible and instead focus more on how to, you know, get more numbers into the church and build big mega churches and so forth. I think beyond that, we've got to get back to the fact that Christians themselves are simply not reading the Bible. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Over two-thirds of all people who claim to be born-again Christians do not read the Bible at all. And one of the problems you have when you don't read the Bible is that you do not recognize spiritual error when it's staring you in the face. And it's not really a surprise to me to tell you that about 25% of all people who join the cults come out of evangelical Bible churches. That shows that the church is doing something wrong. Beyond all that, I'd have to say that, you know, Hollywood has done an excellent job of whitewashing cultic ideas. Did you know that 12 of the new shows coming out this season on television are on psychic phenomena and the paranormal? 12 of the new shows. And so what I'm saying is that paranormal has become the new normal in Hollywood. And what's scary is that there's a bunch of Christians out there, I think, who may get sucked into some of this stuff without realizing how awful it is. And so I think these and other reasons account for how cults have gone mainstream in our society.
Very briefly, Ron, we heard Tom Cruise there in the open saying, you can be a Christian and be a Scientologist. How common, he's speaking as a Scientologist, how common is that opinion, you think, among Christians who don't see a real conflict with the Christian faith and any other new religion or cult?
Well, unfortunately, there are a number of Christians who have joined up with Scientology, and that kind of points to the problem that I've already raised. and that is that a great number of Christians are not very discerning today, which is one of the reasons I'm engaged in the ministry that I am, helping Christians to become more discerning. You know, Scientology teaches that all of us have what's called engrams inside of our brains, and these are developed as we encounter tough circumstances in life. For example, if you have a fear of water or a fear of swimming, it could be that sometime long ago you had a negative experience in which you fell out of a boat and almost drowned, and that caused an engram to be formed in your brain. And Scientology claims to have the technology to dislodge and to get rid of all engrams in the brain, therefore making you what they call clear. And so it's basically claiming to be a technology that works no matter what religion you subscribe to. It can help you to become more in charge and to become what they call an operating Thetan. And so, you know, that's what they say. But, you know, when they talk about Jesus and God and so forth, that's where I have to draw the line, because their view of Jesus, as an example, is just a shade above clear. That's what they say about Jesus. He was just a shade above clear. In other words, he was just a shade above getting rid of all those engrams in his mind. And so I think that what we need today is a good dose of discernment in the Christian church.
Then, Ron, let's get the big picture. What is a cult?
Well, now that's a $1 million question. It's a very important question, too, because, you know, some people think that it's a pejorative term, that if you call somebody a cult, that all you're trying to do is to be mean-spirited. And that's not the case with me at all. I have no interest in insulting anybody or making anybody feel like I am speaking down at them. Rather, I am using the term cult in a theological sense. Now, a cult always derives or grows out of a parent host religion. There are some groups that grow out of Christianity, and an example would be the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. And they may claim to be Christian, but they're not Christian because they deny one or more of the essential doctrines of Christianity, such as the deity of Christ, or the Trinity, or salvation by grace through faith. You see, they claim to be Christian, but they deny essential doctrines. There are other groups that split off from Hinduism. A good example would be the Hare Krishnas. They may claim to be Hindu, but in fact they deny one or more of the key doctrines of Hinduism. You know, for example, Hare Krishnas obviously exalt the god Krishna. And that's not one of the three main gods of Hinduism. So you can see that they would deny some of the main doctrines of Hinduism. Same thing is true of Islam. Islam is a world religion. But there are some groups that have split off from Islam, such as the Baha'i faith. They may claim to be true to the faith, but the fact is that the Baha'i faith says that the greatest prophet is Baha'u'llah. Now, you know what the Muslims would say about that, right?
They would say Muhammad.
Muslims would say that Muhammad is the great prophet, and to say anything else is to speak blasphemy. And so the point that I am making is that cults always emerge out of a parent or host religion, but they typically will deny one or more of the essential doctrines of that host religion, and therefore they are categorized theologically as a cult.
All right, when we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Ron Rhodes on cults and new religions. See, any religion can spawn a cult. We've got cults of Islam, cults of Hinduism, and probably every other religion, major religion on the face of the earth, has its own cults. Kabbalah is, by some definitions, a cult of Judaism. So, let's talk about the cults that spawn from Christianity. When we come back, we'll talk about the doctrinal characteristics of cults. What if there is a denial of some one or more major teachings of the Christian faith, and then you have a cult? What are those teachings, and how are these denials made in various cults? Now, we're talking with Dr. Ron Rhodes. If you have a question or a comment, this is your opportunity to call. If you have a question about a cult, if you wonder if a group that you've encountered is a cult, if you've come out of a cult, if you know someone who's still in one, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. 2727. Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest. Also, our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Ron Rhodes is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries based in Dallas and author of several books, including his latest Find It Quick handbook on cults and new religions. When we come back, beginning with Christ, what do the cults do with this teaching, this central teaching of the Christian faith? We'll be right back. Jesus, our Savior, said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such as these belong the kingdom of heaven." It's never too early to begin instructing your children and your grandchildren in the truths of the Christian faith. For our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, we're offering a series of 6 children's books called Follow and Do. This series is a catechism for small children. The Follow and Do series includes a book on the 10 Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Confession, and the Lord's Supper. This set of 6 books is $33.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about the Follow and Do series, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Reformation Sunday of this year marks the 10th anniversary of the weekly syndicated edition of Issues Etc. We debuted with 5 affiliates. We currently have almost 100 affiliates, listeners on digital satellite radio, and a worldwide listening audience on the Internet. Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening and for your prayers and financial support. We're especially thankful for a small, loyal group of monthly supporters, our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. To find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us reach our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by Reformation Sunday, October the 30th. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the Christless focus of Pop American Christianity. Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn will be our guest. The word evangel means gospel, the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So why is it that much of American evangelicalism, there's that word again, how come so much of American evangelicalism spends more time talking about the Christian rather than the Christ, a greater emphasis on Christ in you rather than Christ for you? We'll answer that question next week on Issues Etc. with Mike Horton. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of October on the program, visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the website, be sure to check out our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's a series of books for kids, for little kids, called Follow and Do, illustrated books for young children on the essentials of the Christian faith. Now, you can order these books separately for $6.99 apiece, or you can order them all together as a series of 6 for $33.99. Follow and Do is published by Concordia Publishing House. You can call them toll-free any weekday, 1-800-325-3040. Follow and Do is a great resource in instructing your children or your grandchildren on the Christian faith. 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Follow and Do, it's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. We're talking about cults and new religions. Ron Rhodes is our guest. Ron, the doctrinal characteristics of the cults, beginning with Christ, what do we find cults doing with Christ?
Well, typically cults will deny or distort who Christ is, as well as what he did at the cross. So you've got both the identity of Christ and the work of Christ that are completely distorted by the kingdom of the cults. Let me just give you a few examples. In terms of Christ's identity, they will typically deny Jesus' deity in some way. For example, they will say that Jesus was created as the Archangel Michael. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. They will try to convince you that Jesus was a lesser God than God the Father. Mormons will tell you that Jesus was literally begotten by the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Mother, and he was the first and greatest spirit child of this heavenly couple. And another one of the spirit children was Lucifer. Therefore, Jesus and Lucifer were spirit brothers. Others, such as Hindu cults, will say that Jesus was a guru or an avatar. Some will say that Jesus was just a human who attained Christ consciousness. There are some in the New Age movement who say that Jesus was just a good man who went to India and learned under Hindu gurus and learned how to walk on water and heal people and make storms calm down and go away. And then when Jesus went back to Israel, he performed all the neat tricks that he learned from these Hindu gurus. So you can see that in each case, the cults will typically tamper with the doctrine of Christ so that he basically comes out being either a man who attained Christhood or as being a lesser God. Now, in terms of what Christ did at the cross, I mean, they've got so many different ideas here. It's hard to get a radar fix on them. For example, there are some New Agers who will try to tell you that when Jesus died on the cross, the purpose was not to take care of human sin, but rather to balance world karma. There was so much bad karma on the planet at that time that the earth was in danger of destruction, and so Jesus died to balance world karma. There are others who will tell you that basically Jesus died to take care of Adam's sin, but not your sin. Therefore, you need to sort of take the ball from Jesus and run with it and earn your salvation. Now, I hope everybody's paying attention on this one, because if you have a weak view of what Jesus did at the cross, you will also have a weak view of salvation. And that's exactly what we see in the cults. Because in the cults, you always have to earn your salvation in some way, rather than depending upon the accomplished work of Jesus Christ.
That would seem, if there is a distortion or a denial of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, for Christ's sake alone, would that also entail a distorted view of man's fallen condition?
Well, I think so. I mean, if you look at the Mormons, for an example, the Mormons will typically tell you that sin is basically a mistake, something that people have done wrong, but it's not necessarily catastrophic. In fact, Mormons will deny original sin and say that we are not born in sin. So there is a close relationship there. I think one thing that's very interesting is how cults will sort of redefine grace. What I'm talking about is that very often the cults will say that it's because of God's wonderful grace that he now gives you the opportunity to go out and earn your salvation. Now, do you see how subtle that is? I mean, they do talk about grace, but they redefine it in terms of works. God is so wonderful and so gracious to us that he gives us the opportunity to go out and earn our salvation. That's not what grace is. Grace, according to the Bible, is unmerited favor. You and I cannot earn salvation. It's all based upon what the Savior did at the cross. And without what Jesus did at the cross, there's no hope for salvation for anyone.
Ron, we've talked about a distorted view of, or a denial of certain aspects of what Scripture teaches regarding Christ. What about God or the Trinity?
Well, this is another very common area where the cults get it wrong. There's all kinds of examples I could point you to. Again, the Mormons are a good example because Mormons believe in polytheism. Now, they do believe, at least they say they believe in the Trinity. They do believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But they define those in terms of tritheism. Now, if that's a word that some of your listeners have not heard before, what that refers to is the idea that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are three different gods. They are not three persons in one God, but rather they are three separate gods. And Mormons teach that the Heavenly Father used to be just a man, like me. And as the Father went through a school of perfection on earth, he became more and more exalted and attained deity. And in the same way, all human beings have the opportunity to earn their own deity and even rule their own planets one day. So as the Heavenly Father is today, you and I may be one day ruling our own planets with people on those planets worshiping us as their Heavenly Father. And so that's a polytheistic viewpoint. New Agers, by contrast, would talk about pantheism, the idea that everything is God. Typically, New Agers will tell you that the earth is God, the solar system is God, the trees are God, the very phones that we are speaking in are God. And the key thing about that is that that has an obvious implication for your view of man, doesn't it? Because if everything is God, what does that say about man? Man, too, is God. And that's one of the key emphases that you'll find in the New Age movement.
We're talking with Dr. Ron Rhodes about cults and new religions. He's president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries based in Dallas, and he's author of several books, including his latest Find It Quick Handbook on Cults and New Religions. You can read an excerpt of this book at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right under the What's New section. You'll find this excerpt from Find It Quick Handbook on Cults and New Religions by our guest, Ron Rhodes. issuesetc.org is our website. Now, when we come back from this break, your phone calls, your email, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. I see one or two free phone lines there, so call now during this break, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be taking your questions and your comments. Now, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Dr. Ron Rhodes about cults and new religions. If you've come out of a cult, if you know someone still in one, if you're wondering whether a group you've encountered is in fact a cult and what to do about it, what they might believe, Dr. Ron Rhodes is the guy with the answers. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Mark Schaefer, coordinator of continuing education and related events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our laypeople understand their role and how they fit in the church, it's good for the church's mission. It's good for the church's service. It's good for the worship life of the church, too.
For more information about the fall retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, a lay leadership retreat, an Enter the Bible World retreat, a Luther Hostel retreat, and a confirmation retreat, contact Concordia Theological Seminary toll-free 1-877-287-4338 or visit them online at www.ctsfw.edu.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Maggie Carner, Executive Director of LCMS Life Ministries, about the upcoming Image of God Bioethics Conference here in St. Louis, November the 11th. Maggie, is bioethics a subject for ethicists and scientists only?
First of all, the term bioethics sounds sort of scary to the average person, and people feel sort of intimidated by that. But what we're talking about here, the actual noun, bioethics, means we're dealing with the implications of what's going on in medicine and science and scientific research and how that applies to the average person. And everyone needs to be aware of what's going on culturally in this field today, especially clergy and scientists, of course, and medical professionals, and even right down to the folks sitting in our pews on Sundays.
So why the title Image of God Bioethics Conference?
We chose that title specifically because as Christians, we have always had a good understanding of what it means to be children of God, created for a special purpose and a special reason. And God has given us his image, and it talks about that clear back in Genesis. And so we've, today, that idea, traditionally our culture has always dealt with science and medicine with that idea in the back of their mind, that framework for understanding that the human, the Homo sapiens, are designed by God for a special purpose. And today that is getting muddied in the discussion, that concept and that understanding.
Finally, Maggie, tell us a little bit about some of the speakers that will be featured at the Image of God Bioethics Conference in November.
We've got some great speakers that are going to be there. We've got Gilbert Mailander, who is on President Bush's Bioethics Council in Washington, D.C. He also serves as a professor at Valparaiso. We've got Nigel Cameron, who he's testified before the United Nations about cloning. We've got Wesley Smith, who is a prolific author and lawyer who specializes in end-of-life issues, and he's been a frequent guest on Nightline and Good Morning America and some of the other, you know, popular shows on television. And all three of these keynote speakers are really dynamic speakers in their field.
For more information about the Image of God Bioethics Conference here in St. Louis, Friday, November the 11th, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org.
One of the central aspects to the study of Kabbalah is the idea that we are responsible for our behavior. We are responsible for everything that happens to us. So it's very liberating to not think of yourself as a victim. I find it very empowering to go, you know what? I deserve that. I own that. I brought that to me. That's a very different way for me to look at life.
That's pop singer Madonna, also in a TV interview, talking about her particular religion, Kabbalah. We mentioned before that it could be understood as a cult of Judaism. We're talking about cults and new religions. Ron Rhodes is our guest. Folks, it is vital in an age of religious pluralism that doesn't just include now the respectable monotheistic religions, but every religion under the sun, that Christians know what it is they believe and why it is they believe it. That's why Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is committed to equipping the priesthood of all believers by hosting several retreats this fall for lay people. For more information, visit our website on these retreats, issuesetc.org, or call 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Let's go to the phones. Eric is up first. He's listening on XM Radio in New York. Eric, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing tonight?
Very well, very well.
Fantastic. Listen, I'm from Clearwater, Florida, and as the doctor may know, this is a hub for Scientology. When even 15 years ago, the police and the Mayor Garvey and the whole lot of them were trying to nail these groups to the wall and trying to boot them out. Now they're being accepted with open arms. They're doing Christmas, well, they don't call it Christmas, winter festivals. It's unbelievable the amount of tolerance that's being given to them. They've taken over the entire downtown area, and nobody blinks an eye. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, when if this thing with Miss McPherson would have happened where she had been under their care, and if she would have died under their care 15 years ago, somebody would have been prosecuted for that. Now it's being swept under the rug.
Eric, thank you very much for the call. How do we address this now? We talked about this just a little bit before, Ron, about the mainstreaming, and in some cases, like Scientology, a religious group that's able to exercise an awful lot of influence in odd ways.
Well, that's right. I think in the case of Scientology, what you have is a new religion that seeks to provide a technology that not only helps people to be personally empowered so that they can basically attain whatever they want to have in life, but they're also mainstreaming through other means. One example would be education. L. Ron Hubbard, who was the founder of Scientology, has in fact written quite a bit on education and education technology, and by penetrating the education market with through schools and so forth, this is one way of attaining a certain respectability for Scientology. And I think the same thing is seen in the medical community. There are certain drug deliverance organizations across the country, and one of these would be the one founded by Scientology. And as well, they also seek to provide services for physicians and so forth. And by using these kinds of mainstreaming methods, it is a way of attaining a certain respectability. Yet at the same time, despite the fact that in America, they are pretty much accepted as a religion, they have still continued to have problems in Germany and other parts of the world. And it'll be interesting to see how all this pans out in view of the recent tremendous amount of publicity that Tom Cruise has, been giving to this new religion.
Let's talk next with Eric, who listens in Elbing, Kansas, on KCVW. Eric, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks. Let's see here. I would like to ask about what Scientologists believe about God the Father. What is he? Who is he? And did he create the world? And also, what do they believe about the Bible?
Good question. Eric, before I let you go, are you planning on coming out for the Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour?
I'm not, but I'll think about it.
All right. Do your very best. I would hope to meet you there, and thank you very much for your call. All right. Eric asked about the Scientologist's view of God the Father to begin with.
Well, that's a good fundamental question. They will tell you that there is an author of this universe, but they won't get real specific in terms of identifying who God is. They believe it's up to each individual to find out this reality for him or herself. When you look through Scientology literature, you'll find terms like the eighth dynamic and all theta. These are terms you probably haven't heard of before, but these are sort of nebulous terms that Scientologists often use to describe God. I should tell you that there is no worship of a divine being in Scientology services. They don't venerate any deity, but rather they focus on the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard. You'll also find that Jesus is rarely mentioned in Scientology literature. As I said earlier in the show, basically Scientologists will say that Jesus was just a shade above clear. Certainly, Scientology would say that they share some of Christ's goals for humanity's attaining immortality, but they have a different method of how to get there. In terms of the Bible, they believe that the writings of L. Ron Hubbard are scripture. Christians, by contrast, would view Hubbard as a man who was quite prolific in his writing, and as you know, L. Ron Hubbard was formerly a science fiction writer who has had some bestsellers through the years. But Christians believe that, by contrast, the Bible is not a man-made document, but it's inspired by the living God. And that word inspiration, of course, means God-breathed. So God is considered the source of the Scriptures in the Christian viewpoint, and a good reference for that is 2 Timothy 3:16.
Listening on KGNW in Bellingham, Washington, Greg, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What's your question or comment, Greg?
Well, I guess I missed some of the beginning of the show, and I guess I'm curious what the professor defines as what makes a cult.
All right, Greg, hang on the line there if you would.
Well, that's a good question, and in fact, we did talk about that in some detail earlier in the show, but just to give you a quick summary, a cult is a group that generally derives from a parent or host religion, such as Christianity or Hinduism or Islam, and typically the group that emerges out of a world religion will you know, they'll typically claim to be the true form of that religion. But more often than not, they will deny one or more of the essential doctrines of that religion. So, as an example, you've got Christianity that emerged, or you've got the Jehovah's Witnesses who emerged out of Christianity, and even though they claim to be a true Christianity, the fact is that the Jehovah's Witnesses deny one or more of the essential doctrines of Christianity. Same thing is true in terms of the Hare Krishnas that emerged out of Hinduism. They deny one or more essential doctrines of Hinduism. Same thing is true in terms of the Baha'i faith which emerged out of Islam. The Baha'i faith denies one or more of the essential doctrines of Islam, and therefore they are considered a cult of Islam. And so the point that I'm making is that the term cult is not intended to be a pejorative or an insulting term, but it is rather a theological term that is not intended to generate heat. It's more intended to generate light.
Greg, a follow-up?
Yeah. Yes. Well, thanks for that clarification. I guess my concern is who is the one that decides which religion is mainstream? For example, some of us would consider Hinduism a cult. Some of us would perhaps consider Buddhism a cult. And yet you decide, make a value judgment that they're mainstream because they have a lot of followers or whatever. And so I guess I have trouble with that. I have trouble with what's mainstream, what isn't mainstream, and what flows from what, specifically with regard to your comment regarding the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, here you have a church that's one of the fastest-growing churches in the world, that whose members are sought out by all members of government for security purposes, who have families that stay together, who have the lowest divorce rates, the lowest crime rates, the lowest use of drugs and alcohol. And so it's kind of like the Bible itself says, you know, by their works you will know them. So I'm having a little bit of trouble with that one.
All right, Greg, thank you very much. We'll get the response from Ron. Ron, you got a minute here before we go to our break.
Okay, well, let me just say that I've had many interactions with Mormons, and I think they're very nice people, and I certainly appreciate their emphasis on the family and good values and so forth. But the key issue is not so much do they act good or do they look good, but rather how do you compare what they teach with what the Bible teaches? Now, of course, my belief is that the Bible is the Word of God, so that anything that does not measure up against the Word of God, well, it's going to be a problem for me personally. Now, let me just give you a few specifics in my remaining moments. What do the Mormons teach about Jesus? They say that the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Mother begot Jesus as a spirit child, and then later, when Jesus became a man, the Heavenly Father came down and had relations with his daughter, Mary, so that he could be physically born on earth. That's just one example, but it's an example, I believe, that shows how diametrically opposed Mormonism is to what the Bible actually teaches.
So it comes back to that definition, folks, of at least in terms of the doctrinal marks of a cult, does it deviate significantly from what Scripture teaches on one or more central teachings of the Christian faith? Dr. Ron Rhodes is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him in this first hour. Your calls, 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back. How would you like to meet Issues Etc. regular guests Wesley Smith, Beverly Yonke, Gene Edward Veith, James Lamb, Bob Weiss, David Menton, and Nathan Jastrom all in one day? Well, they'll be speaking at the Image of God Bioethics Conference Friday, November the 11th at the Sheraton Westport Lakeside Chalet in St. Louis. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and join us as we broadcast live from the Image of God Bioethics Conference November the 11th in St. Louis.
I'm Matthew Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, the mercy arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." In the Gulf Coast and around the globe, we bring Christ's touch of mercy to people in need. Learn more on the web at worldrelief.lcms.org. And to donate, call 1-888-930-4438.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, etc.
There's a church body that's attracting converts. It's not heavy on doctrine, focuses on progress in the Christian life, and presents Jesus as an example. Why is Eastern Orthodoxy so appealing to the postmodern mind? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal on the subject of Eastern Orthodoxy. And you can get a free complimentary copy of the Next Issues Etc. journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Plus, Uwe Simonetto, international journalist, has written an article titled Race Relations and Luther's Doctrine of Two Kingdoms. And the Wittenberg Trail feature details how Julie Stiegemeier went from the false tolerance of modern Methodism to the biblical truths of the Reformation. 1-800-737-0172. If you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. 1-800-737-0172. Folks, we are just a little bit more than a month away from the premier bioethics conference of 2005. It's the Image of God Bioethics Conference. It's going to be Friday, November the 11th, right here in St. Louis. The keynote speakers are, well, a regular guest here on Issues Etc., Wesley Smith. Also, Nigel Cameron and Gil Mylander will be speaking there at this conference. For more information, look for the Image of God logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's Friday, November the 11th. Here in St. Louis, the Image of God Bioethics Conference. Let's talk with Maria. She listens in Dearborn, Michigan on WLQV. Hi, Maria.
Hello, Dr. Rhodes.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Rhodes, I have a question. I just don't know where else to turn, and I'm glad for this opportunity. I live or have lived. I just recently married and have moved out right now, but my mother's parents' home, in other words, an ancestral home that I grew up in and have lived in up to this point, and I'm crowding almost 50 years of age. My daughter also brought up in that home. My grandparents, although I never knew them, raised Catholic, came from Italy, believed in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I talked with my daughter earlier this evening, and she just came out in the open and told me she has seen, like, spirit things in the house. I have seen them. My dad told me that the neighbor next door passed away years ago. We're talking about people that now, if they were living, would be 100-something, saw my grandmother's presence in their living room. It would be like a bilocating thing. Now, these were people raised up to believe in the Trinity. Something has gone awry, and for three generations, things have been seen in that household. Where do I go? I've gone to my church. I've gone to churches that I thought would have some depth to be able to help me with this, but I have these memories. I don't like to go to my mother's house. She's 84. I don't even like to go to that house. It's unsettling. People that have visited there are bothered. We have not seen spiritual activity for a number of years there, but we've rebuked and renounced things. I don't like that I still have this memory, and I feel that there could be something going on, and I can't go to my church. They don't have that kind of depth to cover this.
All right, Maria, let's see what Ron can do here. This is a little bit off the beaten path, but take your best shot, Ron.
Well, let me say, first of all, that if this lady would be kind enough to leave her number or her address, I'd like to send her some stuff on all this. But just to give you a quick answer on this, let's recognize, first of all, that dead people are not around to communicate with the living. We know from Scripture that, for example, when Christians or believers in God die, they go to be with Christ in heaven. We see this in Philippians 1:21-23 and 2 Corinthians 5:8 and Revelation 6 and numerous other verses. Likewise, those who are the wicked dead, those who have rejected Christ, are in a place of holding, awaiting the future judgment. And, you know, we see this in Luke 16, verses 19 to 31, and numerous other verses. So whatever is going on, it's not dead people, such as what some people may have seen on the Poltergeist movie of Steven Spielberg. It is possible that people who have lived in that house have been involved in what's called spiritism. And this is a form of occultism where people are in contact with spirit entities, which in fact I believe are demonic entities. Now, this is a very dark subject, but it's become very popular, and as I said at the earlier part of the show, 12 of the new shows on television this season are on psychic phenomena and the paranormal and spiritism. And so it's getting a lot of publicity today. Now, I have some excellent literature that I've written on this subject that, you know, if it's possible for me to get that lady's address, I'd really love to send it to her and to go into a great more detail on it.
All right, Maria, if you would call 1-800-737-0172. It's our resource line. Leave your information there. We will forward it on to Dr. Ron Rhodes, and he will get you the literature that may very well help you in this. 1-800-737-0172. That's our resource line number, Maria. Let's talk next with Ronald, who calls from Bethesda, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Ronald, welcome.
Hi. I have a question. If you could comment briefly on the organization, the Way International.
Yes. The Way International, in its theology, is very similar to the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but just to give you sort of a sampling of their doctrines, they will tell you that there is no Trinity. It's a doctrine rooted in paganism. It's just like the Jehovah's Witnesses say. They will tell you that Jesus was not God. In fact, their leader, Paul Weirwill, wrote a book called Jesus Christ is Not God. And so Jesus was not literally with God in the beginning, nor does he have all the attributes of God. They will tell you that the Holy Spirit is either the Heavenly Father or the energy of God, depending upon whether the words are capitalized. The word Holy Spirit in caps refers to the Father. The Holy Spirit in lowercase letters refers to the energy or the force of God. Now, you can see right away that this is different from Christianity. You know, Christianity is very clear that God is a Trinity, that Jesus Christ is eternal God as the second person, and that the Holy Spirit is not some kind of an energy, but is rather the third person of the Trinity. So this would be one other group that has emerged out of Christianity, but is categorized as a cult because they deny one or more of the essential doctrines of Christianity.
Next up, Greg in Minneapolis, listening on KKMS. Hi, Greg.
How you guys doing?
Very well.
Good. I appreciate the program. I'm into this stuff pretty heavily. I really appreciate hearing some clarity on these things. I was raised in a Catholic family, got into apostolic stuff after I got born again into a Pentecostal church, then into apostolic oneness stuff.
Yes.
And then into messianic stuff from a different group, and then with Seventh-day Adventist Pentecostal. And I'm wondering about the oneness perspective. I appreciate the standard that they offer of wholeness, but, and I know in some of the extremes they kind of deny the workings of the Holy Spirit and kind of just get into their knowledge view of things and their outward appearances and stuff, so I consider a cult in that way. I'm trying to maintain some of the oneness doctrinal viewpoints, like Jesus' name, baptism, name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that he's the person in John 3. He says, we've talked to you, we've given your testimony to Nicodemus.
Greg, our time grows short here. Let's see if we can have Ron deal with the basic subject here. Where would you put oneness Pentecostalism?
Well, oneness Pentecostalism is distinct from mainstream Pentecostals. It's very important to recognize that, because even the Pentecostals will deny the doctrines of oneness Pentecostalism. Oneness Pentecostalisms believe they believe that Jesus is the Heavenly Father, Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit.
So they deny the Trinity.
They deny the Trinity and hold to a doctrine called modalism, which, as you know, was condemned by the early church. They will say that you cannot be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but only in the name of Jesus. And that if you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you're not saved.
About 20 seconds here, Ron.
Okay, let me just close with salvation. Now, salvation is not easy. You must trust in Christ, repent of all sins, be baptized in the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in tongues, be baptized in water in the name of Jesus only, and then live according to the holiness code for the rest of your life. So that hardly sounds like the gospel of grace in the New Testament.
Folks, we'll continue to respond to your phone calls and email on cults and new religions in the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. I'm seeing two free phone lines, so call during this break. Our email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you're not going to be able to listen to this next hour on the radio. It's only on the Internet, but you can listen on the Internet live to the next hour as we continue our conversation with Dr. Ron Rhodes and take your phone calls and email. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen Online, and you'll hear the next hour in its entirety. Now, we're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's October the 2nd. Write this number down. Give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. We'll also be giving away Ron Rhodes' new book called Find It Quick Handbook on Cults and New Religions to listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. If you get a busy signal, keep trying, because right at the beginning of that next hour, coming up in about 5 minutes, we are going to start freeing those phone lines by taking your questions and comments for Dr. Ron Rhodes. So many things can go wrong, really haywire, when the basic teachings of the scriptures, the Bible, are denied. To say that these things are cultish is to really say the least. These are soul-damning errors, and these are the kind of entangling errors that lead people astray from the true Christian faith. Even if you laid aside the things we always think about when it comes to cults, the sociological aspects, the isolation, the authoritarian views, even if you lay these things aside, the greatest danger is in what they teach or what they fail to teach, and their denial of the central teaching of the Christian faith, salvation by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.